Well, will he or won't he? The tension's been building for weeks and months. The mood of the crowd shifting with every rumor and hint. Will Jadeveon Clowney be a Gamecock? What a all y'all know.
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, with Jim Packard announcing, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we're off to Spartanburg, South Carolina for a Southern Fried All the News That Isn't, plus columnist Lou Paris and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, the man who's thinking of changing his name to Michael Bachman, Michael Feldman.
Hello. I don't hear anything here. Am I talking to the wall? I don't hear anything.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Well, then I must. What did I say?
What did I say?
Tell me what I say.
Tell me what I say.
Tell me what I say. Yeah, Mubarak Shmubarak. Jadeveon, number one high school prospect in the U.S. of A., ladies and gentlemen. Shiro, South Point High School in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Jadeveon. Dictators come and go, but defensive ends are worth their weight in gold. Great to be here in beautiful Spartanburg, South Carolina. And the upcountry. Thanks, all y'all, for having us. You make a northern boy prideful in his southern exposure. No, huh? Didn't sound right. I know. I'm working on it. Historic Spartanburg, y'all know. Many southern towns are still fighting the Civil War, but Spartanburg's still fighting the Revolutionary War. Which is good, because we were on the same side now, wasn't it? For the most part. Battle of Cowpens, every bit as important as Bunker Hill. And it had cows. So it's, remember, before the Bavarians occupied South Carolina, occupied South Carolina, the British did. You could be cranking out Morris Midgets now instead of X3s. That's really how it could have gone. Daniel Morgan, arguably the most brilliant of the War of Independence tacticians, by placing his men between two rivers so they couldn't retreat. I'm surprised no one thought of it before. And then you put the good guys up on the hill. That's really, that was good too. And then you get a bunch of cows to hide behind. Perfect. Something the British had never encountered, actually, a bovine resistance. And the rest, as they say, is all sweet tea. Now, if they had only lured Sherman into the cow pens, the carnage might look a bit different. Tourist paradise, if you throw in Greenville and Fingerville and Roebuck. It's been hard to squeeze it all into 36 hours, but we tried. We started by visiting the art museum at the Chapman Cultural Center, and then we stayed for a bit of experience at the Science Center, where you can hold a live snake. Then we went down Magnolia Street to the train depot to find out why it's called Hub City at the train museum. And then our first breakfast at Two Morrows Bakery, picnic at the Hatcher Garden. Then we did some invigorating rock climbing at Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. And Sparky the Train, of course, Cleveland Park. Not running, but we went there anyway. And some morning pottery at Hearts of Clay. Take home a souvenir, Chuck E. Cheese for lunch. The Hotspot Skate Park was nice in the afternoon, and then we went to Woodruff to experience a live oak farm and feed the animals. Then we went out to Cowpens to see the battlefield and also the Sunshine Ranch in the afternoon with alpacas and miniature ponies and potbelly pigs and pygmy goats. Clyde loved that. And then went to Wade's, of course. The family restaurant, yes. We got to go to Wade's. But we went through the line, you know. It's a lot cheaper. And then another breakfast at the cafe there. And then we took a hayride to Strawberry Hill, and we picked a pumpkin, even though it was out of season. And then we went to a safari ride at Hollywild Animal Park, which is very nice, where you can pet the animals as they eat your hand, out of your hand. Check that. And then we went down to downtown Inman afterwards and had a lunch in a float sitting at the counter of the old-fashioned drugstore. And that was just the afternoon of the first day. There's a lot to do is what I'm saying, and a lot to see. Now for all the Spartanburg and upcountry news that isn't, ladies and gentlemen, a surprise move. Jadavian Clowney is a terrier. He went terrier. Who would have thunk it? Okay. There's a new Christian health and fitness center in Spartanburg. It features cross trainers, Pontius Pilates, and water baptism aerobics. It was very nice to see. You get a two-in-one there, you get your baptism and you get your aerobics. The man who has been constantly kicked in the groin is suing Safe Auto Insurance because he's tired of it. The South Carolina Highway Patrol is going to offer double or nothing pay or points speeding tickets. You can double down on a speeding ticket. Now that's a great thing. Next year, the Spartanburg Gay, Bisexual, Transgendered Pride Parade will be called the A Lot to Be Thankful For Parade. Just so as not to leave anybody out. Mayor Junie White says his support comes from years of serving all makes and models at the Exxon. Yes, Junie White. And Exxon. The BMW Super Bowl was so successful, the ad they put on the Super Bowl was so successful that the Spartanburg High School Vikings will play in Super Bowl 46. Against the Packers, I would imagine. The new South Carolina immigration law makes North Carolinians illegal immigrants. This just in, Jadavian Clowney leaning towards the Valkyries. The sheriff raids the meth trailer in Kershaw County just for old time's sake. That snowfall he had in the upcountry had the drug enforcement boys out in numbers until they figured out what it was. Denny's has a new nationwide ad campaign, Denny's, when the Waffle House just won't do. Or you can't get in, you know, either one would work. Advance America offers Jadavian Clowney big payday advance to go to the Spartanburg Methodist. Go Methodist! There they are. The lack of left turns onto Church Street shuts down Spartanburg from Wild Wings on out. It's been gridlock for days now. You have to say the secret word to get into Groucho's down there. It's impossible. BMW says a $99 factory tour includes a demolition derby with Mercedes. That I would pay for. Columbia is planting 10,000 trees around the city in case Sherman comes back. The upcountry gets an Indian call center in the first benefit of the Nikki Haley connection. Whooping cranes return to South Carolina. Still no sign of the Democrats. In South Carolina, an innovative legislation here. They have taken welfare from the needy and given it to millionaires, where it can do some good. And if you're under them when they trickle down, it's a win-win, you know. Or a wee-wee, I guess. One of the other. Former South Carolina Treasurer Thomas Ravenel wants drugs legalized, which would have the effect of making him treasurer again, I guess. Yeah. No harm, no foul at that point. Jim DeMint will run for president, that's what they're saying anyhow, as the George Washington of the Tea Party. If only he could bring himself to throw a silver dollar across the Congaree. He just won't let go of it, though, he keeps saying. South Carolina will prevent drivers from smoking in their cars, but raise the speed limit to 80 to get the hell to the next plaza. South Carolina's Hooters restaurant chain has been sold. We'll go another direction as Booters. Okay, I'll take it out. Not too late. South Carolina House says you have to you have to go back now to the booze in one fist and the coffee in the other, because you can't have both in one drink. It's kind of inconvenient. The Senate legalizes raffles, which is covers most of what they do during the day, actually. The cameras at the traffic lights at Pine and Main actually don't control the lights. They connect directly to Craigslist. So keep that in mind when you come to the lights. The Sherman College of Chiropractic offers Jadavian Cloney something to fall back on. Thank you so much. That's all the news that isn't. And chiropractic is a good thing to have. Clowney. I said Clowney. Now the man who really knows what's going on in town, the stroller, ladies and gentlemen, Lou Paris. Hello again.
Hello.
How are you?
Just great.
That's great. No hat?
No hat.
I'm surprised
today.
To see you
no
bareheaded.
No.
And I say bareheaded.
This is my usual look.
Yes, okay.
I had a haircut last week.
Oh, you did, really?
Yeah. They got both of them.
I suppose you hear that a lot. I don't really know one of that bald jokes. I can't afford to do that anymore. The stroller is an old tradition now in the Herald.
It's 1957.
Yeah, 57. And the first stroller you're telling me was a Jewish fella.
Yes, Seymour Rosenberg.
Was he? How did he end up in town?
Well, he moved south.
Traffic stop or something, and he just stayed.
He married a Baptist girl from North Carolina.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
How'd they raise the kids?
Carefully. In the synagogue.
Yeah, in the synagogue.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool. How'd her family feel about that? He's a nice guy and everything, Rosenberg, but still, you know, the kid's got to get. And, he did that for a number of years. Now, and the idea behind the stroller is it's one of the great institutions, really, of Southern newspapers in general, is that they have someone who's totally connected to their readership, to the people in town and what's going on. And that's sort of what the stroller's job is.
I feel like they're more connected to me, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Have a tremendous following.
I didn't mean you didn't. And you do all this by strolling. The notion of strolling.
Not as much strolling as it used to be, but in
it's
the
more
beginning.
More trolling than strolling.
Yeah, scrolling.
You think about it. What are some, now you offered, by the way, to sing the national anthem, and I was going to make you do it.
I lied.
But you know the words?
I know the words, yeah.
Yes. Was that the things that your readers brought up to
you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Readers think it's a serious offense what Christina did.
And, some of her other songs are
willing to
bad,
give her
too.
A break, but largely readers are telling me that it's just outrageous and they're disappointed.
Well, Genie in a Bottle wasn't that good either.
Yeah. Neither was Roseanne.
Roseanne, and she scratched, so I think that was worse, you know. So. At least you didn't do that. What are some of the things now? Some of the recent things coming in from your readers. What are they talking about?
Oh, they're talking about potholes and
potholes. Favor or against?
Oh, they're against it for sure.
Yeah.
Unusual. But now I have some competition though. The Department of Transportation now has a pothole hotline, so I'm no longer the hotline to the pothole.
So ordinarily, if someone sees a pothole, they get on the phone and call you immediately.
They'll call the stroller, and I'll put it. But lately, the DOT has taken that over. So,
You resent that?
No, that's great.
Yeah, because ordinarily, they would have to go through you first to get that pothole filled.
Then they would read the column, and they would run out and fill that pothole.
Yeah.
I would go dig it up so they'd have another one tomorrow. Yeah.
Are there more potholes than there used to be in Spartanburg? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think the state's budget. They're having fewer dollars to fix the roads. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't prisoners just go out there and shovel some stuff in there and then...
No, not anymore.
They don't? No. They refuse to do it? Yeah. Is that cruel and inhuman to fill a pothole in? Or what? Okay. So potholes, number one. Number two is on people's minds right now.
Oh, they're talking about Egypt.
Egypt?
Absolutely. They're scared. They're worried about it. They're worried about how it will affect America.
South Carolina?
Yes. Gasoline.
Oh, the price of gasoline. But, you know, it's cheaper here than it is back in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You should feel good about that.
Good.
Yeah, we're up to like $3.15.9 or something there.
Good.
Good? What? All right, Egypt. And then what else we got here? Number three, after Egypt. Potholes, Egypt.
Well, local government.
Local government.
Politics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there an issue? Was the parade a big deal?
Leaf burning.
Leaf burning.
Leaf burning.
Leaf
yeah,
burning.
Leaf burning is a hot issue right now.
Okay. How so?
People don't like to smell the stink. It penetrates your house.
Well, go back inside then, you know. You're saying it comes through the windows?
It comes through the windows.
You can
it penetrates your home.
Yeah. You can shut the windows. Now, is it legal to burn leaves in the city of Spartanburg?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can burn leaves.
Okay. See, now we can't do that in Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, is there some sentiment for outlawing the burning of leaves in the city?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't take a stand on this yourself, do you?
No. But I had one fellow who offered to give anybody his leaves if they would come and get them. I have one taker with a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And they're working out a deal. He's going to get the guy's leaves so he won't burn them again. People are that serious about it.
Yeah. Well, you can mulch.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a lawnmower.
No, I'm not telling you something you don't
know.
You
have a lawnmower.
Yeah, a lawnmower. Or my neighbor has one of these incredibly noisy contraptions that just takes leaves and mulches them right outside my window. That's worse than burning them. Mm-hmm. I'd rather smell burning leaves, which is rather an attractive odor, in a sense, than hear this clanging machine outside my window mulching them.
Okay.
She's out there saying, black gold, black gold, black gold, you know, composting, mulching.
Compost, mulch.
Yeah.
Just don't burn them.
Okay. Chickens in the city? Is that an issue?
Has been.
The chickens win, or what happened?
The chickens lost.
Chickens lost?
Yeah.
A fellow
recently had to get rid of all of his chickens right out here in Hillcrest. Yeah.
Well, there's Hillcrest. I don't know if that's a place for chickens, necessarily.
Yeah, went to court. He lost.
Yeah. And so now no one can have a single chicken, even just for ornamentation?
No.
You want it?
They're noisy.
The hens aren't.
Yeah, the roosters.
Well, you ban the roosters. See, this is once again. I'm not telling you how to live, but in Madison, you can have chickens, right, Jim?
Yes.
But you can't have a rooster.
Can't have a rooster.
You can have hens, but you can't have a rooster because your neighbors don't they have chickens?
No, they don't. Thank you.
Okay. But you can't use the garage for a coop, right?
Right.
Yeah, you got to draw a line somewhere. Mm-hmm. All that junk in there wouldn't work out anyhow. Mm-hmm. Cause, even if they're free laying, roaming. So is that going to come up again, you think?
The chickens are gone.
I know those chickens are gone, but I mean, do people demand the right to have chickens in the city? It seems like a harmless thing.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not a lot of chickens.
Okay. What else is on your readers' minds?
Sometimes readers use my column for a lost and found.
They do.
Column, yeah.
Like what sorts of things have turned
up? Let's see. A guy showed up in my office one day and he set up. Set of false teeth on my desk. Wanted me to find the owner.
How did he happen to have them?
Well, he had a yard sale. And someone came to his yard sale, and when they left, he saw these teeth lying on the ground.
Oh, I see. They weren't in one of the buckets.
So he picked them up,
yeah,
and he put them on the table and put a sign that said 25 cents.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't sell.
No.
So he brought them to me.
Yeah.
He brought them to me, and he thought I could find the owner. So I put it in my column.
Any luck?
Oh, yeah. The day the item came out in the column, he had a knock at the door with a woman with a quarter. She wanted to get her teeth back. She had been to Hardee's, had breakfast. it's kind of messy after that. So she had taken the teeth out and wrapped them in her napkin and put them in her lap.
Naturally.
And when she got out of the car, she forgot she had her teeth in her lap. They fell on the ground, and then they ended up on my desk. Now she has her teeth.
Well, that worked out well. See, that's why the stroller is such an extraordinarily community service.
Absolutely.
Hang on. I thought maybe she saw a bargain at the yard sale, and her teeth just dropped as a result.
Well, we never checked like Cinderella to see if they fit, but we just assumed.
Yeah.
But she, he got a quarter, she got teeth.
Drivers. You get a lot of calls about crazy drivers. And
can't
that
use turn signals.
Can't use turn signals.
Don't turn their lights on in the rain.
Okay. Or at night.
It's an excuse for hitting them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Is that it? And also speeding, I would imagine, is a...
Well, no, they're not much complaining about speeding.
No.
No.
Not enough speeding?
Well, the idea to increase the speed limit to 80 miles per hour didn't take well with my readers.
No, it didn't.
No.
Why not?
Well, they're already going 85. So why should they worry?
So it's actually a decrease is what you're saying.
Yeah.
They actually lose. They lose an MPH.
Exactly.
If it goes to 80, yeah. But is it turn signals? Is that the most mentioned?
Oh, yeah, turn signals. Irritating. Yeah.
People who use them or people just leave them on and forget they have them on?
They don't use them.
They don't use them?
No.
Don't they wonder?
They don't know what
lever?
That lever is, no.
Yeah.
No.
Interesting. Because I know if you go to Florida, people just leave them on for the entire time that they are driving. On their expired license.
Well, they do that around here sometimes, too.
Yeah.
They're riding in the left lane looking for a buffet, all you can eat, you know.
Yeah.
They've got the turn signal on, just waiting for one to come along.
Yeah.
Then they'll turn.
But what about this camera now, the stoplight camera and some of these other cameras they got? Is there anything about cameras on the highway or cameras in town here? Nothing so far?
No. I think we now have two cameras, one at the intersection of Pine and Main and one on Highway 9 and 585.
Yeah. And so far, people don't mind it?
No.
They don't think it's an intrusion?
No, it's not taking their picture.
That's what they say. Yep. What's it doing then?
Yep. So. Well, it's triggering the light.
Yeah.
When people come through the intersection, it lets the computer know to change the light. So. Yeah.
City ordinances, besides the leaf burning thing on people's minds?
Not really, not right now.
No? What about the snow? Did that cause a lot of... I know you're not used to having snow here. Did that really
flummox a lot of people? I think people are more worried about how the snow will affect the school schedule than anything else.
Yeah, and how to make up the 5 days.
Right.
Usually when you have an inch of snow, you don't get a, you know, where I'm from. It's not considered a snow day, but, you know, we take that stuff for granted, I guess.
Right.
We get so much of it. Yeah.
Okay.
How was the snow removal? Did it go pretty well? Or?
Yeah, I don't think there was much
removal.
Much removal, no.
Yeah.
But I saw a few snow plows out running over the roads with the plows lifted. But
But you know those X3s aren't really made for plowing. That's the problem.
No.
They're beautiful vehicles, as you can see right here. I'm taking this one with me.
Mm-hmm.
They graciously somehow got it on stage here. Mm-hmm. It shows you the kind of traction they have. You get it up on this stage. I know. And okay, what else we got here? Moped drivers.
Yeah.
See, now there's something. What is
they
it with
don't
the
like moped drivers?
What is the problem with that?
Well, you know, we're going 85 miles per hour, and a moped just doesn't mix with that.
No, that's when they hang on to your bumper at those speeds, and they get where they're going. They get the draft also helps quite a bit back there. Yeah, so that seems to be a widespread. Are there a lot of moped drivers?
Well, in fairness to the moped drivers, there's a widespread belief that they don't have to have a license to drive one.
Oh, misconception.
They do. They are licensed drivers, but they have a moped license. But there's also a feeling that these people who are driving these mopeds, like the guy who was seen the other day with the six-pack, rope to the back of his moped, and he's headed down the road, and there's some concern about that. So
yeah. Was it not secured
properly?
Yeah,
it was
secured.
I'm sure every drop made it home.
Yeah. Now, there is no open container law or anything like that.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You can't have an open container.
You can have.
You cannot.
Oh, you cannot. Okay. So there is no open container.
No, not on this moped.
No, I don't mean on the moped, but I mean in general driving.
Yep.
Can you drive with a beer in one hand and a revolver in the other?
Sure you can.
Currently,
taking
under
chances.
South Carolina law? Or?
Yeah, South Carolina law is definitely against that.
You can put a gun on the seat beside you, can't you?
If you have a concealed weapons permit, I believe you can have it on your body.
It's not concealed.
No.
So you see the...
Well, you would want to put it in the glove compartment.
I'd like to have it right beside me, personally, unless there's someone sitting in the seat, in which case it's
inconvenient. Well, you can do that, too.
To dig under them.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You can have a gun beside you.
But you can't have an open container.
You might go to jail, but...
Okay.
Now you can text with one hand, and you can eat a candy bar with the other hand and drive with your knees, but, you know, you can't have an open container.
And then you get a lot of hunting stories, too, don't you? People seem to write into you or call into you with hunting anecdotes. Any good ones?
Oh, I think I had one recently where the hunters were in the woods and the guy was about to bear down on a deer and he was getting ready to squeeze the trigger, and it was this deer that had this big, beautiful rack. And his buddy said, "Bubba, stop. There's a funeral procession going by." So Bubba eased off of the trigger, you know, lowered his rifle, took his cap off, paid his respects as the funeral procession went by, and his friend said, "Bubba," said, "that's about the nicest thing I've ever seen." He said, "I can't believe that." So that's just impressive. And the guy says, "Well, it's the least I could do. I was married to her for 30 years.
The stroller, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we love him. Lou Paris, the man who knows what's going on among his huge following. From the Spartanburg Herald Journal. I love the column. That's a fun column. Always knows what's going on. Gentlemen, our trio, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening and dancing and dining edification. We've got here on the piano John Tooling. Yes, he did. He studied at a school for it and everything. Our bass player, Jeff Hammond. And the funky drummer, Mr. Clyde Stubblefield, ladies and gentlemen. Steps goes outside, and I didn't know if I was leaving. Oh, hi. Hello. How are you? Nice to see you. Nice to see all y'all. How are you? How are you?
Herschel Brown, I talked to you a couple weeks ago.
What'd you say to me?
I said that there was 11 Democrats in the state of South Carolina.
Do we have them all here?
All 11 are here today.
We have all 11 Democrats. We should have a revival or something like that. What, can we breed you people? Can we breed you?
Well, I don't know. Comment on that or not.
Okay.
Yes, we need to. We need to
start a breeding program for Democrats. They do it for the whooping cranes. Why not the Democrats? In all fairness, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but okay, we got. Oh, you know what? I was gonna. Hey, John, I know you're doing something. Would you toss me that Packer folder on the? Yeah, I was gonna bring that, and I forgot naturally. Thank you very much, because we got, like, you know, this... Thank you. Very well done. Where is she?
Right here.
Judy. Judy Harper, ladies and gentlemen, Rock Hill. Number one Packer fan. She made the news up in Green Bay. I'm telling you. Oh, yeah.
Who's in Rock Hill, Harold?
No, you were in the Green Bay Press Gazette.
No, you're kidding.
I'm kidding.
You're kidding.
You could have been.
Oh, well... Come down to Rock Hill and get an interview.
Yeah. And she's a genuine Packer fan. This just came up in the Super Bowl, all the commotion and stuff. And that, yes, we do have fans.
Where's my fans? Yay! Go Packers! Woo!
Is it, how does that happen? Is it a genetic thing or?
No. I was teaching school up in New York, in junior high, and the kids were all into football. If I asked my husband, what team never wins? And at that point, it was the Packers. So I put a poster on my wall. 25 years later, when I retired, my room was covered with Packer stuff. And me and my husband have been big Packer fans ever since.
And you stayed with them even though they started winning.
Of course. But I don't mind when they lose because I'm used to that. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they win or lose. Yeah. They're my Packers.
They're the Packers. Well, we appreciate it. We want you to know that.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I got you. I brought you something here. This is for your collection. This is the Packers official Packers folder. This is the Brett Favre folder. Wait a minute.
Brett Favre, Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Did you hear?
Brett Favre, Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. No, you open this folder.
I think...
Quiet.
I think
no.
Brett Favre,
There it is. Okay, I want you to have that.
Where's Aaron Rodgers?
Put all your...
Oh, that is Brett Favre. Take it back.
You want that, dear. You got to have that. Thank you very much. It was just a pleasure to meet you. I don't know. I just had to meet her. I've been listening. Chelsea Crouch, Columbia. Yeah? Chelsea Crouch, Columbia. Listening since you're a preteen. Is that true? You're still a preteen. That's what you've been listening for, a year or what? It's not a big deal. It says, I've been listening for since I was a preteen. Why does your voice still sound the same? Well, see, I'm not going through puberty. That's the difference. You know, it's getting a little scratchier. Is that you? Hi, dear. How are you? Thank you for listening. And you actually came to the show. Of course, you had to listen, right? Did your mom, dad make you listen to the show? Yeah, okay. We got to find out more about this, see if I can get through here. Yes. We got Chelsea. Okay, I'm coming down. Oh, I'm a little old now, Chelsea. A little hard to get to you. In the old days, I would have been here in a flash. How are you?
Good. Good.
This must be a thrill for you. Stand up and really get the total thrill factor here. Are you thrilled or what?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, my mom was supposed to come with my dad, but he couldn't come, so. Yeah,
he had things to do, probably.
Yeah, so.
Let's have the gum. Chelsea, the gum. Spit it out. You got it? Okay. And since you were a preteen, like going to games and stuff, or soccer practice, or
We just listen to it at home in the morning.
It's unaccountable. Have you raised your kids? You have kids yet?
I have one, and one on the way, but they're very little.
Are you raising them the same way, pretty much as?
Not exactly.
It's best to do the same way your parents did.
Yeah.
We need all the listenership we can get. You know, we're counting on this one coming along here.
Okay, I promise. Okay,
we're counting it in the demographic. Thank you very much, Steve. Nice to meet you. I've been told I have a face for radio. Me too. Captain Russell Smith. Where is he? Bear Russell Smith.
How are you, sir?
All right. I'm good, thank you.
Welcome to Sparkle Sleep.
Thank you very much. I'm still shaking from the handshake. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, you have a firm handshake. Have you been told that?
Yes, I have.
Yes. Did you develop that over the years?
Working on board ships, you handle lines and the wheel, and so, yeah, you get a pretty good grip on it.
You shook a lot of guys right overboard on that ship.
I was advised not to.
But the thought came to your head, probably.
Right.
And I see you're in multimedia sandblasting here.
Yeah, sure. We do cars and homes.
Sandblast the media?
No, I use the media for sandblasting.
Oh!
Yes.
Sandpaper.
Kind of like that, yeah. Sometimes walnut shell, baking soda, abrasive grit, whatever it takes.
So you make your own stuff up?
Sometimes we do a custom blend, yeah.
Oh, kind of cool. That's cool. And why did I pick your name here? I don't know why, but I like your card here, and I think Russ Busters and someone can probably use this right now, knowing this.
Well, I'd like to work on that little BMW up there.
What are you going to do to it?
I don't know. Maybe I'll take some of the salt off of it.
Okay, I thought that was you. I was talking to you anyway. Mr. Rustbuster here. Captain Russell Smith. Donna Landro from Sugar... No. No. No, there is not. No, there isn't. You're, because I'm from up north, you're doing this. Where is Donna Landro? Come here, would you please, Donna? I want to figure. I do? No, I think I want to talk to you. I'm looking at your husband, I'm looking at you. I want to talk to you. You're the one to tell me if this is where you come from, actually, and I... you're an artist, it says here. Yeah. What sort of artist are you?
I do a lot of portraits. I've done some murals in schools and stuff.
Yeah. And where are you from?
Sugartan.
How far are we from there?
About 17 miles.
17 miles to there. From here?
Yep.
Is it crow flies?
I guess so.
Is it a big town?
No, no. It's a crossroads. And years ago, there was a corner store. And the people would go there to hang out, especially the men. And the women would say, "What are you going up there for, a sugar tit?" And what a sugar tit is a cotton bag that you'd put sugar in and butter for babies to suck on. So they were saying, you know, like, "Are you going up to the corner store for a lollipop type idea?"
Okay. So they could have called it lollipop, but that wouldn't have been South Carolina, would it?
Not near as much fun as sugar tit.
Thank you very much, dear. Oh, we gotta go. Well, Jim, I can see you're happy up there.
Yes, I am.
You look like you just had a lollipop, Jim.
Yes, I do.
Before we can proceed, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz, and you are?
Lynn Davis.
Nice to, of you to do this, and
The four disclaimers. Hello to all my friends out there in Radio Land. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, anything from Jadavian yet? Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you. Very well done. Let's see the hands of those of you who'd like to show an interest in playing the What Do You Know quiz. That's right, it's something that you can, all those years of education that you've had and that you feel have come to naught, you finally can come to whatever the opposite of naught is, to something. Yes, you know, you seem to be the most enthusiastic. You have an unbridled enthusiasm that I bet you I could bridle. Maybe not. I'm not going to try to. Hi.
Nancy Shillington Perez.
Hi, who are you then? You're outgoing, Nancy. You've been told that.
I have. I'm Bill Shillington's daughter.
Well, no wonder.
That's my sister. She knows that joke.
Okay. Nancy.
Yes.
One good reason you should play the quiz.
Oh, my gosh. My daughter, who's 7 years old, knows the bum, 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 bum. She didn't know what it was, and she said, "Mom, what's that tune?" And I said, "Does it go bum, 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 bum?" It's one of the NPR shows. I couldn't tell you. I'm addicted to all of them.
Okay, well, that's good enough. Come on down here, Nancy. You're not down the road about 17 miles, are you? Yeah, yeah, careful there. Come on upstairs. There's a lot of possible lawsuits involving cables here. All right, you're up on stage here at beautiful Spartanburg. Have a seat there if you would, Nancy. Make yourself to home. There's a bottle of water for you.
Lovely, thank you.
No cost to you whatsoever. Oh, okay. So has this been a big thing for you all the years, thinking that you could
be on
the What Do You Know quiz?
Oh, my mom is listening back in Pennsylvania, I'm sure.
She is?
Hi, Mom. She's also Nancy Shillington.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah.
What are the odds of that happening?
That's a long story. You don't want to hear it.
Okay. Big clan, though, the Shillingtons.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All over the place. And we adopt people into the family.
You do?
Absolutely.
Forcibly? Shanghai them into the
Shillingtons? Kind of, sometimes.
Yeah?
We're kind of an obnoxious group.
Yeah. But. So the reunions must be a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Great fun.
Not for people next door, probably, but for the...
Oh, Well, we bring Spaniards over from Spain, too. My Spaniards. Sister and I are both married to Spaniards.
Can't have enough Spaniards at a party. That makes a good party.
Seriously.
If you have enough Spaniards.
Sí, señor.
Yeah. Oh, and you speak...
We both speak
English, too.
Yeah, sometimes.
So, I mean, how big is the clan? Is it huge? Like,
well, we have 7 originally, but my goodness, we've grown. You talked about not having roosters around. Maybe that was a problem.
Yeah.
We have too many roosters in the family kicking around with the chickens, going back to the chicken conversation.
Okay. I just didn't tie it into the Shillington thing, you know. Okay, and then generational, right? Several generations.
Oh,
of,
my
of
goodness, yes.
Shillingtons.
We go back to William Henry the First, Second, Third, Fourth.
William Henry?
And finally, yes, my great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather.
Okay. What?
On Mayflower, right. We're one of the... We have 5 descendants that came across on the Mayflower.
Oh, you know, my people did too, actually, but it was steerage.
Yes.
From Warsaw, yeah, it was... There was a steerage that a lot of people don't realize. Well, that's fantastic. That's amazing. And what do you do these days, Nancy? What's your line of...
I'm a Spanish teacher.
Oh, you are.
My profession, an elementary school teacher, but I'm substituting right now my daughter's school and my sister that actually teaches there full time.
Okay. So you learned Spanish because of all the Spaniards in the family, or did you... Which came first, the Spaniards in the family or the language?
My sister actually started traveling to these different countries, and I decided to live over there our last year as bachelorettes, and voila. I'm married to a Spaniard, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And your own personal family now? Have you got kids and that sort of thing? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 2 children at home, so Raya and Santiago.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. All right, so someone out... You know how this works, Nancy?
I've listened for years and years.
Okay. Someone out there calls in, don't they?
This is an encore performance of What Do You Know, so don't call now. Keep the number for next week.
Here's the question now about a very famous song, actually. The question is... What has this song got to do with Spartanburg's Sparkle City nickname? Yes, that's the question. And here's the answer. Chris is on the line from Louisa, Virginia. Hi, Chris, you there?
I'm here.
How's it going?
It's going all right. How you doing, Michael?
Pretty good. Black Slacks, big hit in your parts?
No.
No. Okay.
I have no idea.
Any idea what that's got to do with Sparkle City?
No idea whatsoever.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Nice talking to you. Bye. Okay, let's go to Columbus, Ohio. Daniel's on. Daniel.
Hello.
Hi, Black Slacks. Did you hear it?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear Black Slacks?
What about them?
Do they go with a white shirt?
Are you wearing a tie?
Thanks for calling. Bye now. Paul's in Kent, Ohio. People are calling from out of town. They're not going to know this, Jim. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. You're there in Kent, Ohio, I see. One of our favorite places to be. Paul, the song Black Slacks, what's it got to do with the Sparkle City reputation of Spartanburg, South Carolina?
Well, that's because that's the uniform of the day.
Okay, nice try there.
Paul.
Yeah, it was a good attempt. Tom's in Ashland, Kentucky. You know Tom, don't you?
Is that the Black Slack capital of the world?
See you, Tom. It was nice talking to you, though. Call again, really, anytime. Joe's in Springfield, Missouri. You know, don't you, Joe?
No, I don't, but I don't.
Okay. Thank you for admitting it. Steve's in Lexington, Tennessee. Now we're getting a little closer here. Steve, you know why that's got to do with the Sparkle City?
I can only guess that it was the first place it was called Sparkle City.
That's all you can guess?
That's all I can guess.
Yeah.
Not a good one?
No. I got to be honest with you, Steve. No, that's not it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for trying. Don's in Giles.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, Don. You got a bad connection here, Don. Oh, God, I lost him. Hi, Steve. He's in Lexington, Tennessee.
Is that all you can guess?
Hello? Is that all you can guess? That was me on this little delay there. Steve, what's the answer?
I
got
to be honest. No,
hello, Steve. Okay, Marty is in Columbus, Ohio. Marty.
Yes.
What is the answer? Why Sparkle City from this song, Black Slacks?
If I get this wrong, I'm in big trouble because I lived in Spartanburg for over 40 years. I think it's because it was performed by the Sparkle Tones.
The Sparkle Tones, yes! Oh, boy. It was like pulling teeth. Joe Bennett and the Sparkle Tones. Their big hit, Black Slacks. 4 months at number 17 on the charts in 1957. Never got higher than 17, but never lower either for those 4 months, so that's a good thing. Hey, Marty.
Hey.
You're in Columbus now. What are you doing these days?
I am director of development at Franklin Park Conservatory.
Fantastic. So you should know a song like that. Marty, this is Nancy. She's your partner here in crime.
Hey, okay. There, Marty. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, too.
Holy cow.
Wouldn't you know? What do you know?
This is all working out.
Yes, it is.
Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention.
Yeah.
Science or odds and ends.
Okay, Marty, you pick the first category. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Okay, local dog makes the Today Show for its what? Chaser was on the Today Show the other morning. Border Collie. Female.
I don't watch TV.
Oh, Nancy. Marty, did you see the Border Collie on the Today Show?
Unfortunately, I'm a Good Morning America fan.
Oh, well, it didn't work out. Well, I'm sorry then. It's vocabulary. 1,002 nouns. That's a lot of nouns for a dog.
Oh, wow.
Out. Various ways of saying out.
No right, one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it. We tried to get Chaser, but he wanted money.
People, places, school, science, odds and ends.
One of the words he knows is money. It's unfortunate. I'm sorry?
School,
yes.
Science.
Yes.
Yada, yada, yada.
School or science, you say?
Sure. Or any of those.
School.
School? Okay. Spell beneficent.
Spelling? Oh, no.
You know, the plaque on the old main there at Wofford is incorrect.
I can't even say. You said beneficent?
Beneficent. It's on the plaque there. How do you spell it correctly? Marty or Nancy? Beneficent.
Marty, are you a better speller than me?
I'm a Wofford grad, too. I better spell it.
Did you rub the missing I there, or the I there that shouldn't have been there?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one.
Beneficent. Come on, Marty. Don't let me down. For Wofford.
B. E. N.
N.
E.
Yes.
F.
Yeah.
I.
This is easy.
C-I-E.
Oh, yes. See what?
C-I-E.
No, see what?
C-E.
Yeah.
M-T.
Yes, that's it, of course. He got the wrong eye wrong on that one.
We
couldn't. You're a pride. Terriers are proud of you, Marty.
One right, one wrong.
Okay, good. What's left there, Jim?
People, places, science, odds and ends.
Marty, pick another one here since you did.
People, places.
So well. No, they're different categories.
People.
People's kind of survey results. Do more South Carolinians say zero or at least four children are ideal? Given the choice between zero, having zero children, and at least four, do more people say which? Zero or at least four?
I think. Most people in South Carolina probably say at least four.
I'm along with you on that.
Yes, at least four.
Well done.
And there should be a Spaniard among them, ideally.
That's two right and one wrong.
Okay, this is really going great guns here now. And what's left there, Jimmy?
Places, science, odds and ends.
Places, science, odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Okay, Barry O'Hara is to Barack Obama as what is to Nimrata Randhawa.
Are you looking for all the hard ones?
This is an analogy now. Oh. Barry O'Hara is to Barack Obama as what is to Nimrata Randhawa. Very well-known person. So they're saying this is an anglicization of a name. So Barry O'Hara is to Barack Obama, if he were called Barry O'Hara, as what is to Nimrata Randhawa.
I'm guessing Africa?
No, a name of a person. Well-known person.
Need an answer.
Doesn't use a birth name necessarily, but has used an anglicized version of the birth name.
Are they allowed to help me?
No. Marty, you know what I'm talking about here?
I'm not sure. Can you say it one more time?
Yes, Barry O'Hara is to Barack Obama as what is to Nimrata Randhawa? Possibly a well-known personality, possibly head of state of a well-known southern state. Possibly.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley is right! Unbelievable! Pull that one out, Jim.
Indeed, and Marty, you truly let them eat cake with a fabulous four-layer super moist cream cheese icing 24-karat cake from Spartanburg's Daisy Cakes. Let the ears have it with a beautiful pair of palmetto tree earrings from B&D Family Jewelers here in Spartanburg. Let them have a little religion with a fine liberal arts education wearing a T-shirt and a hat from Spartanburg Methodist College. Nancy, for you, you'll dine at the best in cheeseburgers, yes, hand-cut fries, and fried bologna, yes, at Ike's Corner Grill on Archer Road in Spartanburg, Ike's, while wearing an Ike's Corner Grill T-shirt. Yeah. Bring those goodies home from shopping in a monogrammed red insulated zippered market tote bag from George Vaughn at Threads by GBV, and show your school support wearing a T-shirt from the University of South Carolina upstate here in Spartanburg, along with a pair of monogrammed cups, toy basketball, and a water bottle, all from USC upstate. Congratulations to both of you.
Our next live shows in Madison are Saturday, March 2nd and Saturday, March 9th at Monona Terrace. Tickets are available at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Wish you could enjoy What Do You Know every day? You can. Click over to notmuch.com. You'll be able to join our Facebook family, play the brand spanking new online quiz, or laugh throughout the week with Michael's tweets. It's all there for you, all in one place at notmuch.com. Stay tuned. Coming up, Angela Easterling performs tracks from her Blacktop Road CD. Betsy Teeter and Dino Trakas have words of wisdom for budding writers and more of the What Do You Know quiz, so stick around. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International, Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, with Jim Packard announcing. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we're back in Spartanburg, South Carolina, with music from Angela Easterling, insight from the Hub City Writers Project, and another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, the man who's thinking of changing his name, Michael Feldman.
South Carolina, we got a treat for you now. She's got a new CD out called Blacktop Road. She is just the best, ladies and gentlemen. Would you welcome, please, Angela Easterling.
Thank you very much.
Never let wide world turning red. Big wide world turning red. Big wide world turning red. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you for joining us, Angela.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Now, I read somewhere that you started working on this album in 1791. Is that true?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Back when my ancestors first moved to Greer.
That was the genesis of it.
Yeah, that's how it started. We've got a farm out in Greer that's been in our family since 1791.
That's amazing.
Still a working farm?
Yeah.
And we actually have cows there, so if any other wars break out, we'll be able to hide behind them.
We've got the defense set up there already. Going on. Well, that's really amazing. And in between there and here, a lot has been going on. I know you were in L.A. for a while.
Yeah, I went to college in Boston, then I lived out in Los Angeles for a while and moved back here to make my living as a musician. Been touring all over the country, but it's always nice to have the upstate to come back home to.
Yeah, always good to come back home. Well, that's a fantastic song, this new album, Blacktop Road. I know you're very excited about it.
Yeah, and the title song is actually about my family's farm and trying to hold on to our farm in the face of the development that's been going on in the area.
Yeah, and have you got that for us?
Yeah, we're going to do that for you right now.
Fantastic. Love to hear it.
Thank you. They got telephone poles where our trees had been. They ripped up our pasture, put a sidewalk in. Well, the big voice of progress that you've got to go. We're going to lay us a blacktop road. We're going to lay us a blacktop road. Well, they tore down the house my great-granddaddy built. When my grandpa was born and my mama took her first step. Yeah, but nobody cared about the stories it told. The spot was just right for a blacktop road. It was a perfect spot for a blacktop road. Was my age. They still bloom here every year, though she's gone to her grave. Oh, they won't be here tomorrow, that I know. They're gonna pave them right over with a blacktop road. They're gonna cover them over. Blacktop road, yeah. Blacktop road, blacktop road. They're gonna lay them a blacktop road. Don't you try to complain, do as you're told. Blacktop Road. Now family names on that Blacktop Road. Yeah, yeah, Blacktop Road. Blacktop Road. They're gonna lay them a Blacktop Road. Don't you try to complain, do as you're told.
Beguilers, Angela Easterling.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Mike.
was hot. I loved it. Okay, I got to get back in here now. Get back to my host position. I was audience there for a minute. But it felt good. Angela Easterling, the new one is called Blacktop Road. And it's a good one. Get a hold of it. Now, the Hub City. We are in the Hub City. And it's not just Sparkle City. It is the Hub City because of the trains, you know, originally. And has a great thing called the Hub City Writers Project. This is actually encouraging writers in the area, recognizing them, and the arts, not just writing. And it's a national model, actually, for this type of development. Would you welcome, please, from the Writers Project, Betsy Teeter and Dino Tracas, ladies and gentlemen. Dino, I'm sorry. Betsy.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Nice to be with you. We brought you a few gifts here. This
yes.
is a ball cap from the Hub City Bookshop. It's not going to fit so well over your
okay.
headphones.
Okay, well, thank you very
and
much.
And a vintage 1940s poster, Spartanburg, the Hub City of the Southeast.
Yeah. Did you know that Sparkle City, by the way, that question?
I knew all those questions, Michael.
I'm sorry I didn't bring you any gifts. I thought you were going to give me a gift.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can, you know... there must be something here.
Okay, well, later if you find something.
We'll find something. I got this.
Okay.
Want the bobblehead?
Bobblehead.
I want that. That's a good bobblehead. That's drawing. It's an amazing idea. How did this idea develop now of the Writers' Project?
Well, we modeled it after Franklin Roosevelt's Federal Writers' Project.
Oh, yeah. That's
which
wonderful.
Put 6,000 workers, 6,000 writers to
yeah.
work in the Great Depression. Back when we started this 15 years ago, that was sort of a quaint idea, the Great Depression.
Yeah.
But since that time, we have published over 300 writers, 43 books. We've done things for we've renovated two buildings downtown.
Yeah, you got the Rambler dealership, didn't you?
We have turned a Nash Rambler dealership into the hubbub showroom for alternative
yeah.
arts, and we just turned the Masonic Temple into a bookstore
yeah.
and a coffee shop.
Yeah, nice, too. And you left the Masonic Temple on the front. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes.
I'm raising my hand so you'll call him.
Yes, Dino.
If you want to start a bookstore yourself,
yeah.
if anybody else wants to,
yes.
there's a key ingredient to
yeah.
this. You have to hire someone like Betsy Teeter.
Yeah.
You have to hire someone.
That's going to be hard to do, though.
Yeah.
We've published Dino 7 or 8 times, can you tell?
Well, she does have impeccable literary taste. But she also grew up in town. She knows everybody. And she works her butt off. Can I say butt?
I think so.
Okay.
If you can say sugar tit, I think you can say butt.
And
that's
she
a big
has.
Gift, though.
Yeah, and she's kind of like you. She's able to get people to work for her for free. So
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that's important. And also, she can go to, like, Junie White, our mayor, whom you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. She can go to Junie and say, you know, I need a building to put a bookstore in. He'll say, okay, which one do you want?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good skill to have.
Yeah, and you know what's so nice about it is it's the form of writing that takes the form of people telling their stories, at least in large part, you know, which reveals so much about upcountry and South Carolina in general. But and that's what's so important about it, I think.
We do. Part of our job is publishing the collective memory of Spartanburg.
Yeah.
Everything from the history of the cotton mills to the culture of the peach farmers. To the drive-ins and diners,
yeah.
you know, the redneck cheeseburgers and the fried bologna sandwiches, they're part of our culture here.
Yeah, very much. And a good part.
And a good part.
Good, very good.
Yeah, and also you have covered the Greek immigration to the area.
I have. My grandfather was the first Greek in Spartanburg, so I sort of got tabbed to be the one to write the story. So
he was like the Christopher Columbus.
He was. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, but he changed his name, you know, yeah. at Ellis Island. You know,
yeah.
So.
All right. How did that work now? Because there was a huge Greek immigration to the area. Was it your grandfather sitting back saying, "This place is great. You're going to love it. Come on." And
he came over in 1895 and landed at Ellis Island and mm-hmm. worked in New York for a while. He pushed a push cart like that one right over there.
Yeah, 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 sure.
And sold whatever he could sell for a while. And then you know he said that was pretty hard. So you know he looked at his brother and said, "You know, Panayotis, I think we can find something better than this," you know. So they wandered around a little bit and found their way down south and found a job at a candy kitchen and fruit stand and ended up moving to Spartanburg and opening one like that here in town, 1900.
Yep. Yeah, well, so. that's a great story. And similar to a lot of the immigration, my people, you know, and, sure. and the Greeks. That's at the same period, actually, of time, that 1905.
Do you know, tell them the name of your book, please.
Well, I have a friend who says to me, Dino, is the name of your book because memory is eternal? I say, no, it's because memory isn't eternal. He says, I can never remember.
Yeah.
It's because memory isn't eternal.
Because it isn't eternal.
Right.
But I mean, with writing, it becomes that way.
We like to make it eternal.
Yeah. And you write as well, don't you? I mean, you are.
Mostly I write letters that say, please send money and thank you for sending money.
Yes. Have we developed writers who didn't know they could write? I mean, if people start telling a story and then suddenly realize that, well, this is the actual literature. This is someone who can write.
We start at the bottom. We train writers here. Mm-hmm. We do creative writing workshops. We do a summer writers conference. And then, yes, we do publish the writers. And then we sell them in our bookstore and beyond.
Yeah, that's great. And there is something about the South. In the South... South is a land of writers in general, you know. Wherever you go in the South, people still read, which is absolutely astounding.
Literature is a fine tradition, and one of the great things about Spartanburg, South Carolina, is we have 6-7 colleges here, so we have a lot of creative writers on the faculties of those colleges, and they've all come together to create the Hub City Writers Project.
It's probably hard to say in general, but is there a stylistic difference between, let's say, upcountry and low country?
Right,
because the cultural differences are there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I wonder if that comes out in the writing at all, that people's stories.
A little bit. Well, you know George Singleton,
yes,
our friend.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely an upcountry writer.
Yeah.
And the upcountry writers, therefore, are better. They're funny. They're, you know.
They're better. Okay, well, that's summarizes.
They make Furman jokes, you know.
Yeah. A little bit different. And tell me some of the other the books that you're publishing right now. Some of the.
Well, we're working on a book about Spartanburg artists right now. It's called Artists Among Us. We will publish Ron Rash's next poetry book called Waking. We've published the story of Kate Berry, a Revolutionary War heroine for young adults, and following that up with a book about Martha Bratton, who's from Brattonsville. Another Revolutionary War heroine. Well, we got some claps from those Rock Hill people over there. So we do 5 to 6 books a year. Actually, we're doing 8 books this year. And if you want to learn more about us, you can go to hubcity.org or friend us on Facebook at Hub City Writers Project.
Yeah. The publishing part of it itself, do you have your own imprint? Or?
No. The Hub City Press is our imprint. And we design the books here, and they're printed elsewhere, and they... I like to say they go out on a CD and come back in an 18-wheel truck.
is there a larger imprint that sort of releases your books? I know, isn't part of writing the difficulty is...
Selling them.
Getting them into bookstores and so forth. And
yes, it is. Our books are distributed by John F. Blair Company in Winston-Salem and Amazon and things like that.
And I have some in my trunk.
Yeah.
I'm hot on the circuit of... the reading circuit of local branch libraries, so you can find me, you know, the Middle Tiger Library.
Yeah, and with the books
with
in the
books
trunk.
In my trunk.
Yeah, sell them out of the trunk.
We've sold 85,000 books since we started.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
That's huge. Short story. Short stories are your thing?
Well, the book that we're going to talk about, the Greek book, is not fiction, but I do have, I'm in that book that you're looking at right there, this book of short stories. That was fun. That was a great book.
Yeah, so. New Southern Harmonies and so forth. Yeah. Eugene is the one that they picked out of this one here. Story of Eugene. What's the story of Eugene?
That was an odd story. It's sort of about race, and it's about playing basketball. I used to play basketball at lunchtime at the Y. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to write a story about that, about, you know, inviting... It's kind of like, guess who's coming to dinner? I'm inviting a black guy over to dinner and see what happens. So that's what it's about. So.
Yeah. How did that play out?
It never happened. I never did it.
But
in fiction, it happened. It turned out pretty well.
Yeah. Excellent. What if there are probably kids out there who like to write. You know, my daughter is one of them. She likes to, you know, creative writing things all the time. But what is your advice to them as to how to get what they want to on the page?
The advice that I hear all the time from writers who come to visit is, if you want to be a writer, read a lot and write a lot. Read a lot and write a lot.
Yeah.
And read what you like to read, whatever that is, and write what you like to read. Mm-hmm. Try to write what you want to be.
Well, should you experience a lot too? Is that, or can you make that up?
Well, imagination is good. You need imagination, but or experience. So you decide as a father which one you want to have.
I hope she makes it up. I really do. Well, it's a wonderful thing, and there's so much to talk about here that I guess we can't do it all. But the textile town thing, I think, is an amazing thing just for portraying Spartanburg itself.
It's basically a scrapbook of 150 years of cotton mills. It's it's the working man's story, and 100,000 people worked in the cotton mills of Spartanburg County, and this is their story through photos, song lyrics, first-person accounts, documents. Yeah, it's called Textile Town.
Textile Town. When the textile industry disappeared or evaporated at certain point, what did those people do? What happened to that entire generations of people? Really?
I think we're still in transition here.
Yeah. Towards whatever.
A lot of them build BMWs now, which is good. A lot of them are unemployed. So we're a community in transition, but we have a lot of good things happening downtown. New colleges going up, and so there's a lot of hope in town.
Well, it's fantastic, and spurring on that hope is the Hub City Writers Project. It's a great idea for other places too.
I like to think we're a national model.
Yes, and I bet you've been told that, right? Other places are picking up on this.
We've helped
grabbing
some other,
those dealerships, and
we've helped some other communities do their own books, Tallahassee and. But Algo Island, Washington, Charlotte, North Carolina. So they come to us and say, how do we do this in our hometown?
Fantastic. Hub City Writers Project. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. Getting the word out. Check them out online. Check them out. Don't check them out. Buy the books at your bookstore.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from PRI, Public Radio International.
Thank you. That done then?
And now, once again, Michael Feldman.
Is it over then?
It's over.
Did that end rather abruptly, or did I?
Well, it ended.
I know. Was it supposed to end there? Or?
Yeah.
I can't tell with jazz.
Well, you're doing show prep there, so you're not listening.
No, I was listening, and all of a sudden things stopped.
Well, it needed to
stop.
That
was intentional. What? On the dancing part. No, that's not going
to
happen.
You were supposed to be dancing there. We didn't know what was.
Okay, all right.
All right, let's go through the cards here.
Weren't they great, though, the What Do You Know trio, ladies and gentlemen, for your dining and dancing entertainment. Okay, here we go again into the audience. If I get these stairs right, I'm in business. If I don't, I'm in a different business. Okay, what did our beloved Senator Strom Thurmond say to never do first thing in the morning? Gee, I'm hoping this answer is going to be good. Where is Ann? Oh, Ann's way in the back there. Okay, I can get back there. I can do it. Okay, Ann? This had better be worth it, don't you think? It's probably a very amusing little anecdote that we're all going to be glad we heard. Where is she? Is that you? Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
In Greenville.
Yes.
Are you from Greenville?
No, Memphis, Tennessee.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What did our beloved Senator Strom Thurmond say to never do first thing in the morning?
Never drink that black coffee, all that acid.
Thank you very much, and a good imitation, as far as I can tell. Yes, and lay off the acid. That's a very good advice for you kids out there. You're like an NPR rock star. Well, you know, we're not actually on NPR, but that's a small point. The rock star is the important thing. What is the average age of your groupies? Well, I don't think they're mostly middle-aged men who work for the post office and still live with their mothers. That pretty much is it. We get some hydrologists listen for some reason. Groundwater hydrologists. I don't know why. Otherwise, it's mostly postal workers and guys who live with their mothers. They all live with their mothers, I know. Dear Mr. Feldman, I am 12 years old, and I love your show. I was wondering if I could be on your show, even though I am only 12. I would So I Would Love to Be on It. I'm a red hat, huggy on, red hat on, and I'm in row Z. Row Z, okay, there you are. Hoodie, oh yeah, hoodie on, okay. Why don't you come down all the way down this row here? Because otherwise I have to go, and they don't mind if you step on them. And my biggest fan here, you're the one guy who doesn't work for the post office. How are you?
Good.
And you are?
Patrick.
Patrick? Mm-hmm. And you're 12 years old here, and you love the show?
Yes.
It's capital L-O-V-E.
Yes.
You do. What do you love so much about it?
I don't know. I just think it's interesting.
Interesting is not quite love. Yeah, okay, I'm not, I don't want to quibble here because you love it. Do you want to be on the radio yourself? Is that something you'd like to do?
Yes.
What sort of a show would you do?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Like more of a music show or a talk show? Or?
I really have no idea.
No idea. Have you done anything at school now? Where do you go to school?
In Westminster, mm-hmm. It's called Cherokee Creek Boys School.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And do they have any sort of like radio broadcast? Can you do like morning announcements or?
No.
No.
It's a boarding school.
It's a boarding school.
Boarding.
A boarding school. That's a boring school.
That too.
That too. Yeah. Because you should maybe start a little radio club or something, or, you know, so you could get your own little station going there.
Maybe, but probably not.
Okay. Maybe, but probably not. Okay. Well, that's very good. Yeah, anything else that I can tell you? You want any advice on anything regarding radio or how to get into it or how to get out of it or what to do instead of it? Or?
Can I be on your show?
Well, you're on it now.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're my biggest fan now. Who doesn't? Well, you still live with your mother. But you don't work for the post office, so that's very nice. Thank you, Patrick. That was very sweet of you. And Kyra is 13 today. Kyra Briannis, is that right? Here she is. She's 13. What? How do you pronounce your last name? Kira, I'm sorry.
Briannis.
I got them both wrong. That's unusual. I get both names wrong. Usually I get one or the other. 13?
Yeah.
Bat mitzvah year. Are you ready for your bat mitzvah?
I'm not Jewish.
Okay. All right. Well, you lucked out of that one. Happy birthday, dear.
Thank you.
We could just have a party then. That's even better.
Okay.
She's a little shy.
We do have something for her.
We have something for her. We have something for you, Kira.
We've got a Love That Lemon Cake from Daisy Cakes in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Yes!
She can take that with her.
We got a cake for you. Happy birthday. She's crawled under the seat now, but we got the cake to her later.
Humiliation.
Yeah, it is humiliation. Here comes the cake. What do you get when you pair a West Coast liberal Jew with an East Coast conservative Baptist? The answer is married in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Okay, well, where's our happy couple here? Huh? Miriam Hart? Volunteer coordinator?
Hi.
Hi. Have you produced any offspring yet?
I have step offspring.
Oh, pardon me, I'm sorry. Yes.
I have step offspring.
Yes. Have they gone Baptist or Jewish?
They're Baptist.
They're Baptist. Okay. You win a few, you lose a few.
That's true.
Very nice to meet you.
Don't tell my family.
I won't tell. Very nice to meet you, and that's working out good, though, right?
It's very well. Very good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Thank you, dear. You can get off the stage now. You really don't have to. Dying to be on the stage, no matter what it takes. Why aren't you wearing a meat dress? I think we can skip that one. I develop retirement communities. Are you preparing for old age? Yes, I'm getting older. That's how I'm preparing for it. I am aging rapidly. All my systems are shutting down one by one. That's about the best I can do right now. Ever been to Eau Claire? There's an Eau Claire in South Carolina. And we thought we had the only one in Wisconsin. You know, land of sky blue waters, Eau Claire. Huh? It's in Columbia? On the edge of Columbia. Well, you know all about Eau Claire, do you? Well, come here now. We can't let all this fall between the cracks.
I'm the grits man.
You're the what?
Grits man from Gay Yard in Charleston.
You're the grits man.
We used to discuss grits, if you remember.
Yes, where there was a big controversy about it.
There was a terrible controversy concerning lie being added, which is...
There was a lie about grits, as I remember. You're lying. Were you...
But anyway, Eau Claire is right on the edge of Columbia.
Yeah.
Part of the state.
Is grits produced there?
Grits is made there locally, Adelou makes various meals.
What kind of grits do they make? There's not just one kind, right?
Just corn, and white and yellow corn.
Yeah.
Ground well.
Do they use lye or don't they?
They don't use lye. That is a fictitious can of thing that you open and throw away.
Okay. Well, no, I was mixing it up with lutefisk.
Yes, indeed. But getting back to Jed Bevy and Clowney, he is probably going to the University of South Carolina.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know. I was just kidding around. He's going to be a Gamecock.
He's a fine young man.
Yes, fine young man.
Yeah. We're glad to have you up in the upstate.
You're a fine middle-aged man.
Yes, sir. Very much.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
See you again.
Yes. Okay. Good to see you again. Eau Claire. From Eau Claire. What are we doing time-wise, Jim?
Oh, we're getting close.
Getting close? Okay. Have you ever considered another job? Well, thank you very much. Abraham Lincoln put notes in his hat. No, well, at least he didn't write on his hand like some people. Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to the What Do You Know quiz because a chance for you. You saw what happened the first time there. That could have been you up there. You don't know. You, sir, that could have been you. And it would have gone more like this. Yeah, you'll do it. Naturally, you'll do it. You're not afraid of a challenge.
I'm not afraid of a challenge.
Even a measly one.
No, that's okay. I'm ready. Let's rock and roll. Yeah.
Rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And you are?
I'm Bucko Brandt.
Bucko?
Bucko. B-U-C-K-O.
Bucko.
Bucko. Really, George.
Bucko.
George, would I go by Bucko.
Okay. You don't say Bucko, although you say Bucko.
But, well, my professional name is Buck Brandt, but then everybody started calling me Mr. O'Brandt. So, but you can call me Bucko. My friends do.
Okay, good. I'd rather be your friend than not.
Right.
One good reason, Bucko, you should play this quiz.
I have the right number of children in South Carolina. 4.
You got 4. Good man. Come on down here, Bucka. Bucka! I think we got to go over here. Unless you want to jump on the stage. Okay, Bucka. All right. Walk this way. Or whatever way you do. It's fine. Is that a magic mushroom you got there, Jim?
Yes, it is, Mike.
Very nice.
Hi, Bucka.
Yeah. Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. Buck up. All right, then. So what are you doing these days, Bucka?
I'm a lawyer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You want to go back in the audience?
No. I'm really a lawyer artist. I'm a lawyer by trade, but I would prefer to be an artist.
Uh-huh.
B-U-C-K-O, not...
I'm putting an A on there, so I don't say O.
All right.
Little tricks
I'm
of the
with
trade.
You. Go
little
ahead. Tricks. I want only easy questions.
Wait a minute. Lawyer artists. How did you finesse that again?
Well, I just started painting when I was 40, and I would much prefer to be an artist instead of a lawyer because it's not nearly as confrontational.
Uh-huh.
But you do what you have to do. I work as a lawyer to pay for the art.
Yeah, and you don't have to make a closing argument to a painting.
No, it's more generally solitary.
Yeah. Well, how did you happen to come upon the painting then as an avocation?
My uncle, Warren Brandt, is an artist, and I love the way he painted, so one day I just went to the art store and said, give me one of everything. Just started trying it.
Yeah, oil painting?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. And did you discover that you had some talent? Or you
no,
just...
I've got no talent, but it doesn't matter.
You can do, like, splatter painting.
As long as
Jackson
I like
Pollock
it, that's
thing.
What's important.
Yeah, well, that's cool. What sort of things, what are the scenes that you do?
Well, I do still a little bit of everything, but still life is what I prefer to do.
Yeah.
And if you stand still, you can paint it easier.
That's true. Yeah, bowls of fruit and that sort of thing?
Yeah, things like that, exactly. Yeah. A lot of color.
Do any landscapes or seascapes?
Do landscapes, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And have you had training since then? Have you gotten some
instruction? No, I think training would only hurt my art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Grandma Moses.
Well, it's like, I'm not sure how much training you had, for instance.
No.
And it hasn't hurt you.
No, it hasn't hurt me at all.
Yeah.
No. It hasn't helped, but it hasn't hurt. You know, it's made no difference. Yeah. So I see what you're saying there. Yeah. I might start painting, as a matter of fact.
Well, I think you could. I tell everybody that they can.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful thing, actually, to take up something, especially something artistic. And,
sure.
And have you shown any of your paintings?
Well, as a matter of fact, tonight, Arts with a Heart, I put that advertisement out for Spartanburg, is having at Hubbub a show, and I have a painting there of Daniel Morgan that I painted with Dorothy Josey.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like your first painting that's been shown?
Oh, no.
No, you've had many. You're showing all over.
Yeah. Not all over, but all over locally.
Yeah. Oh, excellent, excellent. Daniel Morgan.
East of the Mississippi, primarily.
Yeah, okay. Well, you'll break out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. That's great. Glad to hear it. And the law thing still going okay, or are you?
Law thing's going great. Yeah. I used to do real estate work, but that's kind of slowed down now.
Yeah.
With the
Do you have a card?
Recent economic unpleasantness.
We can put your card online if you want.
I'll be happy to do it. I'll give you one before I go. I think you might get pulled on the way out of town.
Yeah.
I think they will with what they're breathing.
Are you a defense attorney?
Of course. You know, the forces of darkness and evil would be defense lawyers for insurance companies, but I would defend you criminally.
You're a defense lawyer for an insurance company?
No, I'm a plaintiff's lawyer, but I will defend you if you get caught and put in jail.
Oh, so you're a plaintiff lawyer?
Plaintiff's lawyer, yes.
So you're the one who does the...
The suing.
Plaintiffing.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, Bucca. Summing
Bucko.
Up.
Bucko. B-U-C-K-O.
Bucca. You said I call you Bucca.
Whatever. Okay.
Did he not say I could call him Bucca?
No.
No?
No, it's okay. Call me chicken soup if you want to. It's
Bucko
okay.
Bucko sounds ridiculous. Yeah. Bucka sounds cool, kind of cool, you know.
Boy.
Hey, Bucka. Happening.
Oh, you're making me sweat now.
Okay. Buck up, Bucko.
Okay, I'm ready. Rock and roll, but easy questions.
Rock and roll, but it's not, you don't have to worry
about
this.
My children are listening.
This first one is for someone out there, right, Jim?
That's right.
Who's listening right now and that are not. And it's simply to explain an expression, which reads as follows. This is a local expression, or around here anyhow. The expression, there are more Baptists than people in South Carolina. And I want to know what that expression means, because
This is an encore performance, so hold off until we're back live next week to take your shot at the quiz.
What is the expression, there are more Baptists than people in South Carolina? Let's go to the phones right now. Marcia's on the line from Carbondale, Illinois, bound to know. Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. We're going to be in Carbondale in not long.
I know. I have a ticket.
Oh, wonderful. We're looking forward to it. I love it down there.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it,
One of my favorite places. And Marcia, the expression, there are more Baptists than people in South Carolina, what does that mean?
I think it means that they are very religious.
They are very religious. Can we accept that, Jim, or is that too vague?
Could she expand or expound?
Could you expand or expound? Jim wants to know.
They have congregations that are large.
Yeah, or perhaps they're baptized more than once.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Is that possible? So that they could count the number of baptisms, and there would be more baptisms than there are people.
I think that's right. Yes, they are baptized. There are more baptisms than there are people.
I think we can accept that, Michael.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Jim, for stepping in there. Yes, Marcia, we can accept that. Okay, very good. Marcia.
Wow.
How are you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm honored.
Don't be, please. I mean, we're honored to have you.
Oh, thank you.
So, I mean, so are you sitting down okay? You need a glass of water? Take your shoes off?
No, whatever. I'm sitting down. I'm just worried my dog's going to bark.
That's okay. What kind of vocabulary does a dog have? We could have him on.
He doesn't speak anything but bark.
Okay, that's good. Marcia, this is Bucko.
Thank you,
Hi,
Michael.
Hi, Bucko.
Marcia, I can remember your name. That's my sister's name, so we're going to do well.
Bucko,
this
is Marcio. Two of you work together right now. What field are you in out there in Carbondale, Marcia? When did I ask? I don't know.
I'm sorry, what did you ask?
What sort of field or occupation or...
I'm a secretary.
You are for what?
A healthcare organization.
Wonderful.
We have several hospitals around here.
Okay, wonderful. All right, now, two of you are a team, and Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Marcia, you can pick the first one if you like.
Science.
Science, okay. Science buff. The Medical University of South Carolina has grown one of the following in the laboratory. Is it meat, meat and two, or meat and three?
What?
In the laboratory. Talk it over now, Bucko and Marsha.
I'm kind of a meat fan, Marsha. I'm thinking number one.
I think so, too. Yeah.
But
meat?
Yeah, meat.
Yes, they have grown Lady Gaga, okay. Actually, in the... Yeah. In the laboratory, because she was born that way. Yes.
One right and no wrong.
Okay, very good. What's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, school, and odds and ends.
Current events.
Okay. Got a big trial coming up, Buck.
Well, you always do. It's a trial to go to work every day.
Yeah.
You know?
Always on your mind.
Yeah, right.
You get there and paint, you don't think about it.
Only
right?
When you sleep.
Yeah, yeah. In an affront to parenting and accounting practice, a South Carolina woman had what problem claiming deductions on her taxes?
Let me see that question.
No.
Oh, okay.
South Carolina, in the news recently, a South Carolina woman had a problem claiming deductions on her taxes. For what reason? What kind of unusual reason?
Was she claiming her dogs?
Was it her dead father she tried to claim?
No, both good guesses.
How about a hint? I mean, just
well,
a hint.
It was in the news and either, so I don't know. Was,
let me ask the audience.
Yeah. No? I guess we have to.
Say I don't know.
We
that.
Have to call time.
Okay,
yeah, Jim
I'm sorry.
Tells me what to, okay. She, somebody else claimed her kids as a deduction.
Why was that her problem?
Because she couldn't claim the deduction?
Unfair question.
Yeah. Right. This from a lawyer. Serves you right, Bucko. Yeah. That's all I can say.
That's years. One right, one wrong.
Huh? Okay. No, don't worry about it. You'll
I'm
come
not.
Back to
okay.
this.
Okay.
What's left there, Jim?
People, places, school, odds and ends.
Marcia.
People.
Kind of survey results. Don't worry. This will come. Okay. This will be good. Estimated 73, 61, or 28% of Oprah fans experience sore throats from screaming.
Marcia. I think you're more the fan than I.
Yeah.
I do not watch that show, but what are the percentages again?
73, 61, and 28% of Oprah fans.
Hmm.
Sore throats due to screaming. They thought it was a medical condition, but it's just watching Oprah.
61, maybe?
I'm thinking 28.
He's thinking 28.
Michael's sort of looking into space.
Marsha, you want to go
getting,
with?
I'm getting, we might be...
You want to go with your legal advisor here or not?
Yeah,
I think I will.
Yes, 28% have been documented suffering from Oprah-ism, which is sore throat from screaming when someone gives you something, I think.
That's two right and one wrong.
Okay, very good. And what's left there then?
Places, school, odds and ends.
Oh, it's my turn? Odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Okay.
Here it is. Got it right here. Sperry's, khakis, sunglasses with croquis. And pastels can only mean one thing. What is it?
Shoes?
Huh?
Sperry's? Say you,
yes.
Repeat the question.
Sperry's, khakis, sunglasses with croquis, and pastels on both sexes can only mean one thing. What can it only mean? What
you're
is in, the one thing it can only mean?
You're Marshall? In Australia?
You're in Australia? Possibly.
Elton John? I mean, you know.
Anything local? No, I'm afraid we have to call time on this.
Okay,
game.
I'm sorry.
I'm
teetering on disaster.
You're at Wofford.
Yeah. What?
Wofford.
Wofford? Gosh, I graduated from Wofford.
Yeah, that's what they wear, khakis and Sperry's. I don't know what any of it means. I just wrote it down. Someone told me that.
Another unfair
sunglasses
question.
Sunglasses with croquis. Tell it to the judge.
Okay,
yeah.
You're
not doing so good.
I mean, if I'm two right, two wrong.
Don't worry. This is the deciding question here. You get this right, you walk off with everything.
Okay.
Comes down to places or school.
Places or school, Marcia?
Places.
Places. This could be anywhere. Spartanburg.
Oh.
Okay. Spartanburg, among it's been called Hub City and Sparkle City. We confirm that. It's also been known as the Detroit, the Milwaukee, or the Charlotte of the South.
Detroit.
Your attorney advises Detroit.
Okay.
Yes, Detroit, the Detroit of the South.
Oh, my God.
There it is. I like the Charlotte of the South. That's good. Jim
and
Packer.
Indeed, Marcia, you'll sit up extra straight wearing a T-shirt from the Sherman College of Chiropractic, correcting vertebral subluxation on Springfield Road here in Spartanburg since 1977. Then serve up your favorite libation using a basket of four South Carolina logo glasses from Christina Graham at Plan B Gifts. Keep your keys secure on a lovely palmetto tree keychain from Spartanburg's College Corner and Gifts. And
wow.
Bucko, for you, you'll set a romantic atmosphere and bring nature home with a classic ceramic green leaf aroma decor diffuser from Graceland, from Grace Management Group. Get background perspective listening to Walter Edgar, South Carolina, a history and a CD from ETV Endowment of South Carolina, and celebrate some good eating with a T-shirt and magnet from Wade's Family Restaurant on Spartanburg's North Pine Street, serving southern cooked meats and vegetables since 1947. Congratulations to you.
Our next live shows in Madison are Saturday, March 2nd and March 9th at Monona Terrace. Tickets are available at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201.
Well, you know, we were at Wade's last night.
Yes, sir.
But they're here today. Would you welcome, please, from Wade's Family Restaurant and Southern Cooking, Dave Sustak, ladies and gentlemen. He's the manager out there. The man to know.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Good.
Very nice. I want to apologize once again for Clyde's behavior
last night.
You probably heard about it.
Well, it's kind of rough in the South here, so.
Well, he was dancing with the wait person. It was female. I'll say that.
Thank goodness we had one male over there too.
Yeah, well, he was next, you know, but we had to hustle him out of there.
We saved him.
He demanded carry out from the tray side.
I know. You got to learn the rules before you come in. We've got a big sign up front.
I know. I was humiliated.
Can't read. I'm sorry.
Can't read. and you know, it was everything was wonderful. Everything I had was wonderful. The food
is unbelievably
great.
We appreciate it.
It's home cooking like I never had at home.
Yes, sir. Just a bigger quantity.
Yes, and chicken like my mother never could make.
There we go.
You know, and wonderful stuff. And I see you brought a little sampling.
It's hard
to sit here and talk while this is in front of
me. Also, the crew was in last night, and
yes.
When they came in,
yeah.
I brought them through the line and everything and told them that they could have their way at anything they'd like, and we bought their dinner for them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then about 15, 20 minutes later, Michael showed up, and we made him pay for his dinner.
Yeah.
So
actually, I think I was there first. I slipped in there.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize. I've got more food in back.
He still got his carry out too.
Does he?
He was going to take it in his pockets.
Good.
So actually, it's a good. Thank you for making that exception.
Oh, we were glad to.
Yeah, Wade's goes back a long time, right?
1947, March 6th.
And who was the elder Wade?
Elder Wade was, well, everybody calls him Pop, I guess, around here. Pop Lindsay, Wade Lindsay, and then Miss Betty, and I think she was the start of the meet in two or meet in three here in town for us.
Yeah.
And now their children, Hamp Lindsay and Carol Miller, have taken over the business.
Yeah.
And we're actually training the third generation as we speak.
Yeah. I love the story. I read sort of the background on this, and there was a thing where he started a little place, a little roadside place. And he said,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, he said, if I filled in that pit
behind
here, that gully, he said, what do you think if I filled in that gully and we expanded the restaurant? So that was the beginning of a great idea.
It did. Yep. And they used to go across the street to the mill. They had a dope wagon. And
a
dope wagon.
A what?
Dope wagon.
A what? a dope wagon?
Basically sandwiches, soda, things like that. And they'd roll through the mill and sell to all the people that worked all the long shifts and things like that.
Oh,
and
cool.
Basically started that way. And then they asked Miss Betty to do hot meals there at the restaurant. When I say restaurant. At the barn.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't that the thing that dope, isn't that where you could only, there was like only one thing you could order or something, or you could have one set of things that they made
correct.
That day.
Yes.
And that's what you ate.
It was basically country style steak and maybe beans or something like that, and it sort of grew from there.
Yeah. And who was the cook? Was he the cook or his wife?
Miss Betty was, and then a lot of local people here in town
come
up through the years, basically. We've got some third and fourth generation still working at the restaurant.
Yeah. No okra, I noticed.
Not last night.
No.
Tomorrow.
Out of season?
No.
No.
Just on the menu tomorrow.
We skipped. Oh, there are okra days, and there are non-okra days.
There are non-okra days and okra days.
How do you fix your okra so it doesn't turn into a gelatinous mess like when I try it?
Well, it's always fried.
Fried, of course.
We
you deep fry it. You like popcorn?
Bread it and deep fry it.
Yeah, cool.
So it's on Sundays usually.
So I guess I shouldn't just boil it and then pour it into a glass.
No, it's like slime. Then.
Yeah. Who does? Are you the master chef as
no.
well now? Or are you the
no,
over
we
chef?
We have six chefs on staff that work in the restaurant and basically cook all of the foods for us. I just try to run the joint.
And Wade's was like local, now this big thing about local food, eat local,
Yes.
But you guys have always done that, right? It's like
family fixings basically here at in the restaurant.
Yeah, so that's become very trendy, but that's always been the Wade's way.
Yes.
Basically. Have you franchised Wade's?
No.
Cross country, Wade's?
No. Not yet.
Has it come up?
It's come up, but it's too much of a beast at this point to try to handle just the one restaurant, let alone have two or three.
Wade's over a billion sold?
I don't know. 1.2 million last year.
Yeah, oh,
that was how many customers
we
had come in.
Fantastic.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Any secrets here now? This gravy is kind of special. Like little things that had to make a difference. Right?
Oh, it's just regular beef gravy. We make it with the drippings from the products that we have, so everything is natural.
Yeah. And, these are collard greens?
Turnip greens.
Turnip greens. Okay. All right. Do you have collard greens, too, or is that Thursday?
We do, some days. Usually around the holidays is the biggest time we do collards.
Well, how would you celebrate a holiday except with collard greens?
Exactly.
Yes. Well, I always wonder about collard greens, though. What happens to the collards?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just throw out the collards?
Probably.
Eat the greens?
Yeah.
That's kind of unique, isn't it, for a vegetable?
I would guess.
Is it traditional to overcook vegetables? You guys don't do it.
Don't overcook or?
No, but I've gone to some meat and threes in some other states that I won't mention, Tennessee. you go to a meat and three, and it's a steam table with some sort of meat substance, and your choice of unbelievably overcooked vegetables. So you can't even tell what they are. They're disintegrated into some other form.
Well, I think just due to the 2,500 to 3,000 guests we have every day, we're constantly cooking, so it makes it a little bit easier on us where it doesn't break down.
Yeah. And you don't have to do any of the cooking. Did you start as a cook? Or?
Years ago, yes. Yeah. Not at Wade's, but in another establishment.
You did, yeah. That's remained nameless. We got here the macaroni, famous macaroni. That's sort of unique, too, isn't it? Now everyone says they have,
everyone has their own variety of it.
You would think macaroni would be macaroni, but it is not.
No.
What is it, then?
Well, it's just a little bit different everywhere you go. Some people do it, cook the noodles differently, do the cheese differently, who knows what the variety may be.
That's really good.
Yeah, macaroni is excellent.
Well, thank you.
And the greens, and this dessert here.
That's peanut butter pie. That's what we won against the devil, as we call her, Paula Deen, 2 years ago.
You did.
We were picked by Southern Living Magazine as the...
Did you have a smackdown or a cook-off?
I don't know. I think she might take me.
If not, her sons will get out there. They'll double team you pretty
quick.
Could
have been rough.
Yeah. So and this was picked over
one of the products that she had, and we were listed in Southern Living Magazine as one of the best restaurants in the Southeast.
My daughter would love this. She's a peanut butter freak. Is it? And this is a Wade's original peanut butter.
It's actually one of our managers, Linda Johnson, had been there. Linda's going on 32 years working for the same people, the Wade's. Or the Lindsays, and Linda's grandmother came up with that recipe, and it's something that's hung on. Everybody sort of contributes a little bit as they go along.
It's amazing because it's white, but it's peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
What's the secret to that?
Can't tell you. I'd have to kill you.
Me and Paula Deen, huh?
Right.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure eating at your place.
Our
nice
pleasure.
To have you here, Dave.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Eat at Wade's, ladies and gentlemen. I
Please
have to tell
do.
You that.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all. Let me just say a little more of this right here. Jim, you got something to say, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I got lots to say.
Yeah, go ahead. I've been down here often enough now, I expect my tea to be sweetened. I consider it tea, not sweetened tea. Thank you, Spartanburg. Thank you, Upcountry, for having us. Delightful, as always. Thanks for having us down. On behalf of the band, Jim Packer, and myself. Spartanburg.
Wish you could enjoy What Do You Know every day? You can. Click over to notmuch.com. You'll be able to join our Facebook family, play the brand spanking new online quiz, or laugh throughout the week with Michael's tweets. It's all there for you, all in one place, at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph.
PRI, Public Radio International.